Hey guys, what's up? It's me, Natalie.
I'm Amanda.
We are K-Junkies.
Yes, and welcome back to another episode of Talk That.
Yay!
Talk That.
But yes, we are back with another episode of Talk That for the month of August.
August. I almost forgot what month it was.
I feel like that's a moon.
Yeah. So we had put out the first episode of season two of Talk That last month, and we were honestly like really happy that people missed it and they were happy that it's back. So thank you so much for the love. We definitely want to keep doing our podcast more with more videos. And you guys can also help us out with that if you join our coffee.
Woo! Yes, we have a coffee where you guys can support us and you guys can join tiers to have some input in our podcast and our videos as well. Or if you just kind of want to leave a one-time thing, that is also something that's doable. So please support us on our coffee because that would really help out a lot and we'd really greatly appreciate you.
We definitely want to add more benefits to it as it grows, if it grows. So you definitely got to help us out there so that we can put more stuff in there. So check out coffee.com/kjunkie.
I think let's just jump into some of the things we're going to talk about in the K-pop sphere in August.
Yeah, this episode's not like center on anything very specific. We're just going to talk about, you know, recent releases and news and stuff and just some recent adventures we've had with KCON and the ESPO concert in Miami. But before we get to all that tea,
tea.
It was a little bit of tea in
there. Oh boy. How about we just jump into like what's been kind of going on lately in K-pop? Okay. I mean, there's always a lot of things. Obviously, obviously we miss some things here and there, but I think one of the biggest things that happened recently that I've been seeing all over Twitter was the NCT Jaehyun saucing.
Oh, yes.
So apparently this girl broke into NCT Jaehyun's hotel room and she took pictures and posted it all over Twitter. Like, yeah, this is his room. And then she goes on to say that she apparently was handed the key card.
Right, because that's how that works.
And people are like, that's BS. Like, they, you know, people were just like, Jaehyun would never, or like, why would an idol do that? And then some people were like, some people were low-key trying to defend it, being like, oh, what if that's like a girlfriend or a friend?
Why would she post all his stuff on live?
Exactly. It's like, why would you do that? Like, the idols wouldn't want that. So there was just no way. And then some other people have theories that an SM staff might have given the key card to her, which I wouldn't be surprised. It's like, you know, you're a company with so many staff. Like,
there's always some bad staff.
Yeah, like snakes.
Whipping staff. Yeah, they do shit like that.
So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe somebody was trying to, like, I don't know, plant something or make...
Where was this? Was this when they were in...
No. So apparently I think it happened before, like maybe it was LA when they had come.
Was it when they went to San Diego?
Maybe, but I wasn't, I'm not sure of the timeline of when it was because I don't think the girl specified, but yeah.
But it was in the US.
I believe so, yes. And apparently she's known to like stalk them anyways.
Oh, like, okay. There's been a lot of pictures. Like, probably like an Asian fan that follows
maybe,
them everywhere.
Maybe she lives here, I think.
Oh.
In like the US, but she has been known to like stalk NCT. There's a bunch of pictures of her and other like NCT related stuff.
I really don't go on Twitter very much. I surprisingly didn't see anything, like any photos or videos. Like, I didn't see any of it. I just heard that it happened. And I saw that, like, oh, SM's gonna sue and blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
People were like, oh, like, you know how SM opened that Kwangya 911 like thing? The Kwangya task force. they had opened that. And then people were like, oh, like, you know, send it to SM. And they said that they were gonna, you know?
Yeah.
So the girl, apparently from the University of Law in Manhattan or Michigan. Michigan, I think it was. University of Michigan.
You got one of the M's, right?
Yeah, and people were making jokes on TikTok about like, oh, imagine you're a law student and your first case is SM.
Like, I've made it, Mom.
I made it, Mom. So, yeah, that was kind of everything going around. And it's funny because my cousin had talked to me about it. She was like, yo, this is giving like low-key like early EXO Sasaeng vibes. And I was like, stop, like when EXOLs were called exotics. At the time, and
they were exotic.
The EXO saucing like wave was crazy.
It was.
She was like, "Yo, it's low key giving that," and it really is. Like, I just don't understand why someone thinks it's okay to break into someone's hotel, even if you got the key card, like, don't know how you got it, but, and then you just post it, like, I mean, you shouldn't be doing that generally. Like, even if you're like, oh, I'm going to privately break in and save these pictures. Like, why are you just breaking into their personal space? You know?
I don't see why that's even, like, fun. I don't know.
It's not.
People are weird. I don't know. Like, speaking of, like, EXO saucings and stuff, I feel like, ZB1 might get to that point.
Oh,
I'm kind of, like, worried about it. Like, I feel like their fans are insane. So, I feel like they're like gonna be the new gen of that.
Maybe we'll see. Like, I don't think I've seen anything like too crazy.
Not yet.
We'll see, because they are, you know, they are blowing up and stuff. Speaking of other craziness within the idols, or like the idol sphere, probably a lot of people watch this show, because I don't think this show was like as big as Boys Planet or whatever. But Fantasy Boys, that was a survival show that happened. I think kind of started when Boys Planet was already airing. And if you don't know Fantasy Boys, it's basically the male version of My Teenage Girl, which is a survival show that had Classy under Pocket Doll, which is a subsidiary of MBK, which if you are a veteran, you would know that MBK was Core Contents Media, and they had Tiara, and they're just a mess of a company.
Yes.
They had a co-ed school, they had $5 Speed, etc. They suck. So Fantasy Boys announced their debut after the show. They're like 12 members.
Ooh.
Wait. And they're coming out September, and then suddenly they announced that they were removing a member, so now they're 11. And the member they're removing is the one who ranked number one. Like, already insane right there at that
period.
That, because, you know, obviously if you rank number one, you're like insanely popular, and you're probably going to be the face of the group, the center, right? But it wasn't just as simple as, oh, like, he's removed for whatever reason. Apparently Pocket Doll said that they removed Yoo Joon Won, which is the guy, because he was asking too much for the contract. Like, he wanted more money. He didn't want equal pay with the members. The parents were being difficult.
That's a lot. That's a lot for a trainee to do.
Yeah. But then Yoo Joon Won came out and said that that's not true, that there was things in the contract that weren't reasonable, and he just wanted some reasonable changes, and they weren't listening to him. So they decided to last-minute just tell him that he's removed.
You're like, you know what? Bye.
We don't want you. But then,
oh, there's more.
other things have come out, saying that his mom was the one being difficult and like wanted more for him because he ranked number one and da da da. So I'm not choosing a side to believe, because, you know, it's hard to believe any side. Sometimes the idols are the ones at fault, and sometimes, or majority of the time, the companies are the ones that aren't at fault. But you don't really know what side to choose
from. It's funny being like, oh, but the parent can be at fault, because like sometimes some parents are, they overstep. It's like, this ain't about you, I'm sorry, but like, yeah, I mean, I feel like all three options are believable.
They
so
are
like,
and you know, the thing is like with the company being at fault, like it definitely is a lot believable in this case with MBK/Pocket Doll, because they're just such a bad company. Don't know why they decided to have another survival show when they can't even like promote Classy. Classy's been gone for almost a year now, I think, since their last comeback. I think Tick Tick Boom.
It's not been a year.
Like 9 months or something, I think.
Oh my God.
Whatever. The fans are mad. But they've been gone for some time, and we don't know when they're coming back. So like, that's why I'm kind of like, I wouldn't be surprised if they had unreasonable contract issues.
Maybe.
But I'm kind of curious to see like if it would go past that, like if they're just gonna debut Fantasy Boys and just, okay, like nothing bad's gonna happen, or if this guy's gonna like come at them. But like, it's definitely an interesting thing to look at in the terms of survival shows, and like, do people that rank number one really think they deserve more than the rest of the group that didn't rank number one? That's possible. I think like you kind of get power hungry. And also just a little slip into that, apparently like Seulgi from Red Velvet renewed her contract with SM.
I saw.
But what does that mean for the rest of the members?
Yeah, why are their contracts separate?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they probably had different terms, maybe, but because Red Velvet was supposed to renew a while ago, but we never got news of a Red Velvet renewal.
It came out in 2014. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They never
mentioned the renewal.
Renewed, like,
people just,
at 7 years?
People just assume that they low-key renewed.
Oh yeah, I mean they don't necessarily have to tell us whenever this happens.
No,
so.
But
people just start assuming they have a 10-year contract, but we really don't know.
But yeah, so I guess Seulgi renewed, and I guess we'll see with the other members. But I thought that was interesting too. I was kind of like, oh, Okay, one member renews.
I mean, I feel like if Solgi renews, that should be like a good sign.
We'll see. You know, K-pop is unpredictable. You think everything's okay, and then everything's not okay. So I don't trust anything. But hopefully, regardless if they all don't renew, like, I'm sure they'll promote as Red Velvet, just as Girls' Generation has been able to do, and just as EXO almost was about to do with CVX. So fun times in K-pop. Moving on from that, some releases that we had missed.
Oh yeah, because so we were at KCON, and of course everyone decided to release stuff while we were in LA.
Rude.
And obviously reactions are the last thing on my mind when I'm in another state. So we were like, no, we're not gonna like try to react over there because I'm not editing.
We wouldn't be able to do it anyways. We were so tired.
We literally got like 4 hours of sleep
every day.
Night.
We were tired.
So and then we were just so tired when we came back that we were like, we didn't end up reacting to them anyway. We just watched them on our own. We didn't really want to deal with
them.
We
but...
had a lot of stuff. So yeah, we just wanted to like breeze through some of those things that came out just here so that people do know like how we felt about it. One of the things that came out was Jihyo's solo.
Yeah,
which kind of killing me good.
Killing me good, yeah. Me good. Which I was kind of sad we couldn't react to it because I was like, oh, like we love Jihyo. That's Amanda's bias from Twice. And we were really looking forward to her solo debut. So I was kind of sad that we couldn't react to it just because, you know, we were tired and stuff. But we did watch it, of course. And we only heard it once so far from this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it like on reels and stuff, in the challenge reels and stuff, but we watched it once. I will say I was a little disappointed with it personally, but I was telling Natalie, like, one of my biggest pet peeves with solo debuts is when the song sounds like it could have easily just been a song for the group itself. And I feel like Kill Me Good could have easily just been a Twice song because that's kind of like the sound that they've been doing lately. So I was a little disappointed with that because I was like, how is this stand out from the rest of the group, really? Yeah, obviously Twice could probably pull off pop, but I feel like it wasn't like it was so obvious that it could be a Twice song, like for in Nayeon's case. But I felt like Jihyo's was kind of disappointing. Like, I really wanted something really sexy from her, but I guess that wasn't what they were going for.
I think for me, the song just didn't have any standout points. I feel like pop did. Like, I feel like there was something about pop that just, like, the chorus, the pop, pop, pop. Like, there was something more standout about it where Jihyo's song was kind of like, it's not bad. It's good. It's like, it's not, I wasn't there like, oh, God, I can't listen to this.
Yeah.
But it didn't, like, nothing, like, popped out to me.
Pop, pop, pop. I think, too, that it didn't have any, like, specific key points that are, like, super memorable. Like, pop, obviously, the hand choreography, like, was super memorable. And that was, like, a big challenge. But I feel like Killing Good didn't have anything like specific to it that was like
for us.
Oh my God, that part is so cool. That part is so catchy.
Yeah.
So I was, I was a little disappointed with her solo debut.
But maybe as we keep listening to it more, it might grow on us because again, we've only heard it like once since it came out. So it's kind of hard to make like a super solidified point when you've only heard a song once. But that's kind of our first listen basis to it. Another song that we unfortunately had to not react to was aespa's Better Things. Sad we really couldn't react to it. I was looking forward to it because they have good English releases.
I didn't even know it was an English song until the concert.
So
the concert, the aespa concert, was literally 2 days after KCON. So we basically got back on Monday from KCON, and then the aespa concert was the next day. So We didn't have any time to listen to it beforehand. Natalie played it in the car on the way to the venue, but I wasn't even paying attention in the car.
Yeah, we were talking.
So we were all talking in the car. So I didn't realize it was playing, so I literally barely got to hear it. So my first real listen to it was during the concert when they performed it. And my first, I was like, okay, it's a cute song, but like, after I heard it again, it really, really sucked
good.
Me. And I really, really like the song now. And I, like I said, I didn't know it was an English song.
You know, it's good.
Until I heard like, it.
It's catchy. The lyrics, the aespa, what was that line?
Aespa big girls with the money or something.
Yeah, period. No, it's good. I like the chorus a lot. It's super catchy. And the choreo as well. I think everything about it was great. I love the mermaid-like concept of it. And obviously, they look flawless. So I really enjoyed that comeback. I think definitely it's stuck in our heads already. Like, we sing it from time to time. So
yeah. I really like that song.
Also, another song that we kind of heard at a concert was Everglow's Slay.
Everglow.
That came out when we were already in LA, I believe, right? So we knew that Everglow, you know, being in the lineup for KCON and being in the concert, the Sunday concert for KCON, that we were going to hear it at KCON, because we hadn't seen the music video or anything. And what was your first impression of it at KCON?
I mean, it was an Everglow song. Like, it was exactly what I expected. This is the vibe. I know Everglow can pull off that sound perfectly. So I was getting down to it. Like, it's a good song. Like, for that sound specifically, I go to Everglow for it. So, like, I'm not ever mad at it.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
It's like your niche.
It's a good time. And also, like, Everglow in person.
Oh, beauty.
So, like, just being able to experience that song in person. Like, I feel like it was more memorable to just watch it live for the first time than to watch a music video.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like a live performance of something sometimes the first time, it's like, wow. Like, that's kind of what happened to us with Superhuman from NCT.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Like, they had debuted it live in when they came to Miami. Like, we never heard it, and that was like an experience. So I feel like the same thing with Slay. I like Slay a lot too. I thought it was a good song, very Everglow. And yeah, I have no problems with it. I get down to it. You know, all my girls Slay. They make music for the baddies, man. For the baddies. And then one more thing that we had missed was the NCT like pre-release.
Yes.
Golden Age. Of course, we're entering the new age of the NCT comebacks where they're all together in one album. 2023.
The Golden Age keeps confusing me because I just keep thinking of Golden Hour.
Oh, by Mark.
So I'm like, did they do that on purpose?
Yeah, Golden Age. That was definitely an interesting time. For me, what got to me was the like slow piano intro with Doyoung, and then Mark suddenly just coming in like that, like the rap, and then the song's kind of slowing down, It was NCT.
It was an NCT.
It was a switch up, like going all around or whatever, and I was like, yeah, this is NCT, all right. But yeah, no, it's nice to see them all together again as one. You got NCT.
OT20.
NCT 127, NCT Dream, Wavy, period. We love to see it. So I'm excited. They are going to release Baggy Jeans, which has a Seventh Sense lineup.
Oh, my God.
Which I'm excited for. No matter how weird the song might be.
I'm excited.
Excited for it because we love the NCT boys. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. And I think that so far all the comebacks we kind of were able to catch up with. I know XG dropped something else, but we haven't been able to check it out.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. If it's not everything, then we're sorry.
Speaking of some of those groups like NCT and aespa and stuff, we can go slip into talking about KCON LA 2023. Whoa. So yes, we went to LA for KCON. You know, we went all 3 days. We did all 3 concerts. It was absolutely exhausting.
It was.
It was interesting being back at KCON for the first time since 2019 for us, because we didn't go last year when they had COVID version KCON. masked up KCON. That I was like, no. I don't know if people know, but KCON has changed since 2019, like management, everything. So like things are different now. They changed how some things look, how they do things. And it was definitely an experience to see how KCON has changed. Did you like any of the changes? Is there anything specific that you were like, okay, this is an improvement?
I definitely think that the QR code like check-ins.
Uh-huh.
I think they were fine because back in KCON, you had your ticket or you would check in. And then once you checked in, they would give you like your high touch paper and da-da-da. And, you know, it would just say like high touch, whatever group. And that's it. It was all like in paper that you would hand in when you went to your high touch. But this time everything was QR code. Like, and this time, I mean, like the time we went, I don't know how last year worked as well. I think last year was also paper.
Last year they had the paper. Yeah. I saw a vlog.
This year, I guess they decided to do everything like QR code, which I think works. We are in like a digital age, and sometimes you might lose your little papel, you know, but you won't lose your phone as much. So I guess that worked. Any other changes? I'm trying to think. The Toyota booth being gone was really sad.
I felt like more cons than pros personally. I don't know if it's because I'm just like
old soul.
I liked like how it used to be, and I'm just used to it. But I just felt like there was less to do now.
There was.
It was just very, like, the vendor room or whatever, the main...
Kind of lacking.
It was just brand, like, booths. I felt like there was not much to do, not much to look at. There was, like, yeah, the Toyota booth, the dance all day, like, booth. Like, gone. All of that was gone. So there wasn't ever, like, just a section that was constantly playing K-pop music. And I'm like, this is a K-pop convention. But, and like, I don't hear K-pop playing anywhere besides at the KCON stage when people are performing or the random dance plays.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they had, like, a dance all day section, but they weren't dancing all day.
I don't think so, yeah.
They were, like, they just had little events here and there, which was, like, random dance plays and then, like, little, like, dance events with certain idols and, like, people. I can't even say guests because they didn't really bring a lot of, like, guests, like, influencers or, like, small guests. It was very, very limited.
It was very industry-specific.
Very industry-specific. Like, all the panels were just, like, industry-specific. It was, like, come to this panel and sit and watch these people, industry people yeah. talk. There was no interactive panels.
No game there panels.
There was no fun things to do as a K-pop fan. So it was, I feel like there wasn't a lot to go do. We mostly stuck around the KCON stage where the idols were doing showcases honestly, and games.
Honestly, KCON was more like wait for hours con. Yes. You know, like wait in line for hours or wait at the barricade or wait in the pit for hours to see an idol come out. And then when you were done with that, you were like, all right. You either stayed in that spot to wait for the next group that would come on KCON stage or wherever you were at.
Yeah.
Or just kind of walk aimlessly and sit down and rest and go to the McDonald's booth and
stand get, like, in line for the bathroom for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Or you get fries and the free fries and the little sundae from McDonald's.
There was also not a lot of food options, I feel like. I know they had this K-pop village thing in the front, but it was only for Saturday.
Yeah.
And there was, I just felt like I didn't have any time on Saturday to actually go check it out. So I don't even know what was there. I know there was a stage outside and there was food trucks there as well, but I didn't get to see any of it.
Yeah. They had like small food section outside and like the food court inside, but it was like the food court inside was like, whatever. The food was not that great.
It was just like, this is your last resort food.
And then they had some of the food outside. It was expensive.
I mean, it's always going to be expensive. It is. Things. Arm and a leg for some fucking dumplings. Bro.
But definitely like the con aspect of KCON was kind of boring.
Yeah.
Like besides the KCON stage where like you would have to camp out for hours to get a good spot, everything else was kind of boring. Like again, all the stuff were basically like brand stuff that you just kind of look at and maybe it was like little sticker events and stuff, but there wasn't anything like compelling for us anyway.
It wasn't point blank either. Like it wasn't like, hey, you can do this and this. Like if there were things to do, it wasn't obvious enough that, like, I knew about it, you know? Yeah. Like, I shouldn't have to, like, search for something to do. Because I felt like their little, like, booklet, too, that had, like, whatever the schedule was super vague also. Like, you didn't know what those things that were going on, what they were, what they entailed.
They didn't even give descriptions for panels.
There was no descriptions.
Just like, fuck around and find out.
This is what it is and show up and find out. Like, that's it. You know, they would announce things the day before. Like, there was a panel about survival shows and the description of it specifically said the star moments or some shit like that of from shows that had Enhypen, Kepler and ZB1. It was very general. You have no idea what it was about. It had the producer. I think that's all they had said. The night before, it was literally almost midnight. They were like, guess what? Matthew and Ricky are gonna be at this panel. So like everyone was like, what? Like, what is this panel? What are they going to be doing at this panel? You know, and it was just really vague. But, like, the description, it mentioned other groups. Like,
it mentioned Island and Girls Planet.
Yeah, it mentioned other groups and shows, but the whole panel was about
Boys Planet.
Was about ZB1 specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, which, like, I get it that they last minute were like, Ricky and Matthew would be there because if people would have known beforehand, it would have probably been even more of a bloodbath than it was.
Yeah.
But that's just like an example of like how vague everything was.
No, yeah, but I feel like my main complaints were just like, I think it's because me and Amanda do cons all the time. Like we host panels at anime conventions and we try to make things entertaining for everyone. That like being at KCON wasn't that entertaining. Like the panels, like, yeah, I guess it's cool to like obviously hear some industry insight, but everything being about more professional or more of the industry and not just having like K-pop trivia, like, you know, K-pop this, like
fandom,
like
stuff.
K-pop mini games, like yeah. Nothing that kind of brought the fans together in the sense of like game wise. It kind of felt boring. Like there wasn't something to be like, oh, I want to go check out this game panel, or like,
that's the thing too. Interactive panels are so important because K-pop fans shouldn't feel like they're not, and it have something in common. Like I feel like if fans are not interacting and having fun together, is it really fun? Like I felt like I didn't have any interaction with K-pop fans. It just felt annoying half the time because everyone was fighting each other to like be at the front of the pit. Yeah. It was just like a lot of, I guess, felt like it wasn't like a community.
It's also like always, things are always dance centered, like the RDPs and stuff, which, mind you, the RDPs at KCON are not fun because it's like there's no space for the RDPs.
It was 10% dancing, 90% people standing on the sides trying to see if they could jump in the dance.
Well, like, that's it. Regardless, like the spacing I felt like wasn't good enough. It was very small. Yeah. But I feel like not everyone dances, like
they don't
to do RDPs, so I feel like they should always try to cater to K-pop fans, like knowledge-wise, singing-wise. There's never anything like karaoke-wise for K-pop at K-Con.
I feel like karaoke would be a great event.
It would. It would be fantastic to do a K-pop karaoke, but they don't do that. So I feel like K-Con definitely needs to try to make things more fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like by bringing us and letting us do it.
Oh, well, I don't know. But I feel like not only the con portion, I feel like the concert portion has changed a lot too. It was kind of disappointing in that aspect. I felt like before in the past, mind you, they had 3 concert nights this time. And I feel like they didn't have an overwhelmingly like larger set list of like lineup of people that they've had before. Like, I feel like the amount of artists they've brought is generally about the same they usually bring. But I feel like the majority of their artists did 2 songs and left. If they were lucky, they had a special stage too. But for example, you know, I went to KCON thinking, okay, I'm gonna see NMIX. They're definitely gonna do Dice. They're definitely gonna do
Love Me Like This. For sure.
You know what they did? They did Party O'Clock and Roller Coaster and left. They had a special stage where they did The Feels by Twice. That is what I got. I went to KCON thinking I'm gonna see Love Me Like This.
I was excited,
and
to see
I did
Love Me
not
like this.
See
yeah.
Love Me Like This.
I think for me personally, concert wise, like I wasn't super disappointed. Like I had a good time and I got to see a lot of songs that I was happy to see. I think personally that for KCON I would have a bit less groups to give them at least 3 or 4 songs each.
I feel like they have the time to do it, but they throw in random stuff that takes the time away. So like they do like these random little games with the audience, but they're so forced. Those games are so forced. Like it's like, okay, guys, the emojis, let's guess what dance it is. And then the members do the dance, but you know it's scripted. Like you can tell that they already know this beforehand. If you take that out and let them do some more songs, that's all I want.
I think too, like games wise, I don't mind the little mini games. So I think it's cute to interact with the crowd. But I think what would be more fun is like what they kind of did in Twice and stuff, where they would play a song and just show the crowd and someone dancing to the songs. I have a lot of fun kind of seeing just people appear on the screen and doing a dance. Like I think that's more fun.
They used to do that.
They did. No, I remember that.
There was a couple KCONs ago. Did that. And we ended up on the screen.
Our
friends ended up on the screen.
I think that's fun.
Yeah.
I think if they just maybe did that and then focused more on just having more songs, I feel like that would be more fun than, you know, like, because some groups just did, like, their recent soundtrack and then a B-side.
I noticed that was the pattern, was that, like, 90% of the groups did recent comeback and the B-side of that recent comeback. If it was, like, an older group that maybe hasn't had a recent comeback, they would, like, Everglow, for example. Everglow knew what they were doing.
Yeah, Everglow set was good.
Because they did Slay, and then they had one more slot for a song, so they did a cut of Dun Dun and a cut of La Di Da.
I was hyped.
Which I was like, thank you, because I didn't think I'd see Dun Dun. I really didn't think so.
Yeah.
You know, but that's how you do it, you know, not just like, I'm going to do this B-side.
Yeah,
like,
I think at least if you only have 2 slots, you should do like your recent release and then like another release.
I just feel like you should generally just do the title tracks, because a lot of the people at this festival, this convention, are K-pop fans that just, if they're a casual fan,
they
most likely
know.
Just know your title track. So when you start doing like B-sides or
unless
like,
it's a popular B-side, like My Bag,
it's gotta be really popular.
If it's like Giatle did My Bag, that makes sense.
Though,
yeah.
But like, you know, I know Roller Coaster, but who's to say everyone else there knew Roller Coaster over Love Me Like This? You know? So that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like, title tracks are the go-to for these things, I feel. I don't know why they were letting them do, like, these
B-sides. I think that was my only, like, major complaint with the concert. I mean, everything else was fun. Like, we were dancing. It was a good time. We got to see songs that, like, I was like, oh my God, we're seeing this song. The crazy thing, though, is ATEEZ and Stray Kids doing 5 songs. So I was like, wow.
Yeah, they definitely were like, hey, favoritism, guys.
I want to say it's favoritism. Like, I get the last group probably. The last group usually does do a bit more than the other groups. But I think it was the fact that some groups were doing, like, 2.
Taemin did 3 songs.
I know Taemin did 3 songs. That might have been an SM thing. I don't know. But
I feel like we got spoiled with Wavy, at least.
Yeah, Wavy, like, did a good
Wavy
song.
They did the Papia song. Like, even though it wasn't their song, you at least got to see them an extra time. Then they did 2 of their songs. And we got Baby Don't Stop. Because Taeyong was right there and Ten were there. So I felt like, you know, we got some goodies from Wavy. So
again,
that was nice.
I just think, like, it's not, for me, it's not really a problem if the last group gets, like, 5 or 4 songs, or, like, they get a little bit more than the other groups. I just think that maybe if they have a little bit less artists to give those artists more songs to do. Because I kind of hate that some of them just did 2 songs and they were like, bye. You know, it's kind of like, okay.
I feel like, too, Mnet has this weird, like, oh, we have this affiliation with this certain group. We have to bring them. Yeah. Like, no offense, but, like, there's a couple groups there that I was like, I'm very surprised this group is here.
But they were,
like,
fun, but
like, good for you, I guess, that you were able to come and, like, you know, obviously they have fans at the end of the day too. I was gonna mention this in regards to the con, Natalie. Please tell us your ZB1 high touch experience.
Oh.
that I could not get, by the way, because it sold out.
I was excited, obviously really excited for it because I love ZB1. The only thing that was disappointing was the fact that they decided to add the plexiglass in front of the members.
Yes.
Which they kind of were, like, low-key the day before the con, like, oh, we might add plexiglass. And then they did. And people were obviously disappointed because it, you know, the
false
whole time for months, it was high touch, not high wave like they did in COVID era.
Yeah, last year they said it was a high wave. They had specified from the get-go that that's what it was. They did not do that this time. So people paid full price for a high touch.
$100.
For this, just for it to end up being a wave.
Yeah, so, which I also think it's bullshit, KCON, that they decided to do it a high wave and then they don't let you record. Like, you can't record. Like, I get for a high touch maybe, but, like, if I'm going to have to see these men behind glasses and them looking like they're in a sequarium, I might as well at least record me, like, interacting with them. But they were like, no phones. I know some people obviously were kind of holding their phones in a specific way to record it. But besides the fact that there was plexiglass, it was nice seeing them really close. They kind of looked unreal, obviously, because it's just, like, they're so much prettier, like, in person. And they kind of, it's just like, wow. And all the ZB1 members are cute. I was just kind of doing, like, little, like, you know, little heart things. I mean, yeah, you know. And then my fighting stance with Gyuvin. I was going to throw hands
with Gyuvin. She was going to fight Gyuvin.
I wasn't going to fight Gyuvin. I was trying to do Love Killer to Jiwoong, and then it kind of went to Gyuvin because I was in the middle of walking while doing it, and then Gyuvin was like,
you want to fight?
But it for me, it was like, you know how Gyuvin's eyes get really big?
Yes.
It was that. It was him going,
I can only
And I
imagine.
Was like, oh my God, like, what was he thinking? Like, he's like, why is this girl doing this pose towards me? It's like, okay, I guess. But the fact that he just went along with it was, I
That's
thought, really
so funny.
So, yeah, his was funny. I literally can't remember, like, anyone else. You know,
you don't remember Ricky?
No, I obviously remember Ricky. He was like, and Jiwoong and stuff, and Haobin and, like, one.
Oh, Haobin
sharing
a glass.
Boyfriends. So yeah, it was cute. I definitely don't think it was worth the $100.
Absolutely.
If it was
going to
be a high wave, I think they should have lessened it because I didn't get to high five ZB1. But
you
whatever.
You didn't get to compare hand sizes?
Right? Damn.
That's my favorite part of high touches, is seeing how much bigger their hands are.
But maybe next year when they bring ZB1, it'll be a high touch. And then maybe next year we could hopefully both.
I don't know. Like, I mean, from what I've heard, the reason they do the plexiglass is for safety precautions, especially for someone like ZB1, even though they did it for all the artists. But, like, yeah, there are some crazy fans. People jump. People hug. People kiss. Like, they're creepy.
Yeah.
Fans are weird.
Fans are weird.
You know, and you can't trust them, I guess. And I think
I could never.
K-pop has gotten to the point where there's so many fans and they're just chaotic and we don't know what to expect from them anymore.
So yeah, that's kind of, I think, our tidbit on KCON. You know, it's a lot.
For the most part.
Would we probably do it next year? I mean, I wouldn't mind doing it next year again, depending on the lineup and maybe more if we secure high touches first before we think about actually buying.
I think me not being able to do an artist engagement for the first time as a KCON attendee was really disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of miss, like low-key kind of miss the random high touch thing. It's more disappointing when you don't get it.
Yeah.
Knowing that, like, you had the choice and you couldn't get it because of whatever reason.
There's pros and cons to both. Like, the random thing is, like, I would have been honestly really mad if I got JO1. INI or JO1, I would have probably been disappointed. And that would have been hard to trade off. So there's pros and cons to, like, if you could pick and if you can't pick. But whatever. If we might do it again next year. Who knows? We'll see. I mean, there was obviously some fun points. We had our friend that did the ITZY Dream Stage, and she ended up dancing with ITZY, and that was a good time. It was really fun to see that.
Oh, that was my other gripe with KCON was Dream Stage thing. Okay, KCON, I want to know what your criteria is for Dream Stage, because I saw some questionable people up there, and I saw some other people I didn't get the chance to even be considered, us included. So. You know,
maybe next year.
I'm like wondering, like, is your online round randomized? Because there is some people that were there that clearly did not know what they were doing, and they were given the opportunity. So, like, I don't know.
I also think it was unfair that some people did, like, multiple.
Yeah, that too. You should not be able to be in multiple when there's so many people that want to be part of this. Yeah. Like, how is that fair?
Like, some people did all three Dream Stages.
Yep.
And I was like, damn, I wanted to do ITZY.
Or that they had the opportunity to do all three or two back to back. I don't know if people made it into multiple, like at the final, like on stage, but whatever. Yeah. I was like, man, I was so like confused by all that I was like, it makes me wonder, like, is it really worth it? Because, like, yeah, you get to like dance on stage with these idols for like a minute.
Not a minute.
Like, yeah, a minute.
Oh, you're right.
A minute. Yeah. It is a minute because you're doing two cuts. It's a minute. You're on the stage with these idols for a minute, and you miss the entire concert and the entire convention for the day.
Yeah, that's why I would, if I were to do it, I would probably pick an artist where, like, that day I don't really care.
Yeah, but what if you do? Because you're multi-fandom.
Yeah.
Okay, and then thing. You bought, like, a ticket.
Yeah.
And then you won't know if you need a ticket because they don't tell you if you made it to, like, 4 days before KCON.
Yeah.
So you can't just be like, well, I won't buy concert tickets until
later.
There's
pros and cons. I feel like I would like to have the experience of doing it, but, like, I would probably just do it once and then never do it again.
Regardless, I'm going to get FOMO. Like, I'm going to have the FOMO of not being able to be on the stage, and I'm going to get the FOMO of not being able to experience the convention
and
at
the concert,
same time.
Yeah. So it's like a win-lose situation, I feel, depending. But, yeah, let's move on from KCON. I think we talked enough about KCON.
No.
Our opinions.
Our beef.
Maybe if KCON would do anything to change it, probably not. Another thing we got to attend was the aespa concert, which you had brought up already.
Yes.
We went to the aespa concert in Miami, which thank you, SM, for letting aespa come over here, because we don't really get many, many K-pop concerts here. And that was a great fucking show. It was at the James L. Knight Center, which, you know, is like not a huge concert venue. It's like a decent size.
We've had a couple K-pop artists do concerts.
Like Card and Ace as well. But the production value you could feel was SM. Like, they, like, the screens, the cuts, the sets, like, everything that they put into it was very, like, high production for the venue that it was.
It's like I feel like I haven't been to a concert, like, of, like, a big company concert in a while. So I kind of, like, forgot that, like, they're usually that nice. And since we were at KCON all weekend, where it was kind of, like, really basic cookie cutter, like, you know, so, like, coming back from KCON and then going straight to the aespa concert, I was like, whoa, it's just like bam, 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 bam.
Yeah,
bam.
Banger after banger after banger.
I was like, guys, hold on, I can't.
No, it was really good. Like, I feel like the sets were good. The solos were good. Like, the solo stages were amazing. Their interaction, like, the way they talked to us, like, the conversations were very nice. Because KCON, obviously, the conversations are very kind of
robotic
and, like, already scripted. Kind of scripted. Besides, maybe if they do slip in little things like the idols themselves. So aespa was a great concert. They put on such a good show. Their vocals, oh my god! Like, aespa live, that's definitely something everyone has to experience, like, at least once, because those live vocals were phenomenal and they were just gorgeous. And then they had the what I had mentioned that KCON should do. They had before the encore, they had the, like, oh, dance when you hear a song, dance, and they had people on screen, and we ended up being on the screen for that portion, and that was really fun. And a bunch of our friends were on the screen and we were like, oh my God, oh my God. So yeah. I think it's fun to see fans dancing around. People came up to us after and they were like, oh, I saw you guys on the screen. Like, that was so funny. Da-da-da. You know, so I definitely really enjoyed the aespa concert. I think KCON should take notes.
Yeah.
Notes on the aespa concert, because that was a great time. Good time. We also have a bunch of other concerts that we're going to.
Oh my God, you're right.
Later, because everything just seems to be happening at once now.
We have Dreamcatcher in Orlando next month. We have Triple S Love Lucian in Atlanta. Everglow is coming to St. Petersburg, which is basically really Tampa random area. Yeah. In November, I believe. So I definitely want to go to that.
Yeah, so we're definitely gonna have much more like concert experiences.
I really want to go to Stacy, but this doesn't look like it's in the cards.
No, sorry. I'm sorry. Like, they're September 2, right?
No, or... it's a little later. I don't know when it starts. I know the New York date was
November?
October.
Yeah.
It's
a little much. For the wallet. That was kind of like the small adventures we've had so far. And there's definitely, again, like I said, there's going to be more because we have a lot of other concerts that we're going to plan on going to.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other plans.
Not convention-wise either for now, sadly.
You're chilling.
Right now, it's just back at work. But yeah. Any recent albums? We go into like kind of the recent albums and songs that we've been listening to. Anything you got, Amanda?
Like I said, guys, I'm really bad at listening to albums because I'm really bad at listening to music in general because I'm always editing. So like I can't just listen to music while I'm doing stuff. Since I did have to do a long drive yesterday, I did listen to Stacy's new album, which like, okay. I love Bubble. Amazing song. Like, I really, 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 really like that song. The rest of the album, you would not think goes with that title track.
Why?
It's very, like, R&B, like, slow, chill songs. Like, I
haven't heard it.
Like, it was literally just a vibe. Like, I was, like, listening to the songs, and I was waiting for, like, another really cute, bubbly song, and it never happened. And it's like a mini album, I think.
It was only three songs. Did you listen to the English version of Bubble?
I did. You can't understand what they're saying, so.
Did you listen to the sped up version?
Guys, no, I didn't save that. So I don't know what it sounds like. Yeah, I had like purposely removed that from the
library. What would you rate the album?
I mean, I personally wouldn't say it's my style. I do like Stacy are my girls. I love Stacy. I love their title tracks. Their album content is kind of a miss for me. But not like in a bad way. It's just not my style usually.
So what's the rating?
I don't know. I'm not going to give it a rating. It's not like the songs were not bad. I just didn't.
Yeah, they just didn't. You didn't vibe
with them. They
weren't
for me.
All right. Well, on the other hand, I'm pretty good at listening to some albums.
Okay, go ahead.
When I feel like I really want to hear an album, I was like, I usually listen to it. So I have three albums that I listened to recently. One of them was ITZY's Kill My Doubt from their new release. And I feel like that's probably one of their top albums, to be honest. Like I didn't really get to listen to the Sheshar album, but I did listen to Sneakers and the Loco album, like comparing it to those albums. And I personally think it's much better than those albums. Like, I feel like all the songs are really good, like the pre-releases they had. Other tracks like Psychotic Lover, I think, is one of the songs. That one's really good. Cake to me is a great title track. I like Cake. I get down to it. I think it's a great song. So overall, I feel like it was a really good album. Like, definitely a good album from start to finish. I really liked it. I also listened to randomly Seonu and Hyungwon's album, The Unseen. I don't really listen to Monsta X albums because Monsta X albums aren't my style. Kind of like how you were mentioning with Stacey. So I don't really bother, but my friend had played a bit of the songs and I was like, you know what? I'm going to listen to this album. And I thought it was really good too. Like, I really liked Roll With Me. I don't know.
I got everything, the money and the fame.
I don't know. So there's like, it's like a vibe. I don't know. I vibe with it. And then there was another song. I think Love Therapy is the other song. I thought that one was really good as well. But I feel like overall with the title track, also a solid album. Okay. I was very impressed. I'm nice, like, oh, nice. Okay, I fuck with them.
They were also really nice to see. Okay,
yeah, they're.
You've never seen Monsta X before, surprisingly. They did, even though they've come to Miami.
Yeah.
But
they did Who Do You Love and we were so
they
high.
They did do Who Do You Love. Even though Hyungwon called it a B-side track, but it's not a B-side.
I don't think it's a B-side, no.
I'm like, okay, my dude.
And then obviously the last album that I listened to was Triple S Love Lucian's album, which is like, it's said as Muhan because it's just like a symbol. Obviously love the album. I'm biased. I thought every song was great. I do have a song recommendation that is from that album. And again, the album is very, you know, Luna coded in the sense because of Jade and Jong, who they're with. But that's why I just love their album call. And I feel like Triple S has really good B-sides. I feel like they're super like solid, and I can't wait to hear some of the songs live. So I definitely recommend listening to the album if you haven't, as well as the other two albums that I have mentioned.
All right. Okay.
Song recs.
Oh. I mean, I kind of mentioned my song rec.
You kind of did talk about your song
yeah,
rec.
Yeah, so my song rec was going to be Bubble by Stacey. So
you haven't listened
Trash.
To Bubble by Stacey. What do you love about it? It's just so cute.
It's honestly, it's very nostalgic. It has this vibe to it. I don't know what it is. When I was listening to it yesterday, I was like, it gives me this nostalgic vibe of like 2000s music, but also like kind of Disney Channel.
Period.
So I was like,
we love Disney Channel.
I love it so much.
I think it too. A lot of people were like, oh, Stacey, you know, like saving or like, you know, sticking with the fun, cute concept. Because, you know, the cute concept comes and goes. It's not as prominent as like, I feel like the more girl crush or the more like hip hop style now. So yeah, I really liked it too. I love cute girls. Cute girl concepts. I love it.
Oh, I have another song. Was something we didn't mention in recent comebacks that we missed. Hyoyeon's Picture.
Oh, so that could be your song rec
too. I'm going to throw that into song recs because that song is actually really good. Like
A queen.
So I don't think it's popping off as much as Deep did, but it should because it's
good. Great. She looks fantastic in
the video. I love it.
I love Hyoyeon. My song recommendation is off the Triple S Love Lucian album. It's called Cry Baby, which is funny because the Wave fandom was shitting on that B-side. But I actually really like the B-side. Some people said it didn't match the album, but I thought it was fine. It has a little bit more of an upbeat rock vibe compared to the other songs, which are more like toned down. But I don't know. I like the chorus a lot. I like the way it starts. So I definitely recommend Cry Baby. And I'm just going to also recommend Girls Capitalism, the title track.
Okay.
That song is really fun. They brought back the iconic brand of the La La La's. That seems to be like the Triple S standard. I think it's a great title track. And I feel like a lot of people would like it because it's kind of cute. But it's got like some sassy moments to it. So yeah, I recommend the album in general, but Cry Baby and Girls Capitalism. Yes, that's my song, Rex.
Woo. Yay!
So I think that wraps up this episode of Talk That.
Yes, it does.
We hope that you guys enjoyed our kind of our brief discussion on the news, our rants of KCON, our talks of the albums and some releases that have come out that we unfortunately missed because of life. Yeah, and if you enjoyed this episode, definitely look forward to more.
Yes, make sure to, you know, you can obviously watch this on our YouTube channel and you can listen to it on your favorite streaming site for podcasts as well. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and to check out like our Ko-fi and our Instagram as well. And we do this once a month, every month at the end of the month. So make sure to stick around for the next one.
And yeah, please do support us on Ko-fi because you can have tiers and you can recommend stuff to do for rankings and podcastings as well. By the way, I'm Natalie.
I'm Amanda.
We are K-Junkies.
Yay.
Thanks for listening/watching.